course, Sprons by Jacob on another sad Friday. We should be getting ready to play this week and having a chance to show everybody the Cleveland Browns. But it's all right. We're getting closer to the middle of March when we're going to see a brand new Cleveland Brown, brand new money, Akeem Hicks. I won't blurt out my full name this time like I'm getting arrested. So I hope you guys enjoy that. But you're in the right place. Greatest podcast on earth. Not even a debate. Just like TJ Watt over Myles Garrett. Either way, let's go Dawgs.
Welcome to the Dawgs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Dawgs Podcast. If you'd like to get your voicemail or your intro on the show, head to thedawgspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail in the drop-down menu. As Jacob said, Browns didn't have a game this week. It's not going to stop us from being here for the 100th time. Woo! 100th episode of the Dawgs Podcast today. So that, you know, we're kind of joking, but for real, this is the 100th episode. Kind of sucks we couldn't have Zach. We couldn't have everybody here today. But we just want to say thank you to everybody. If there's anybody who's been here since the beginning, you know, like how far we've come. We're on the complete opposite side of the room now.
You know, we traveled all 10 feet.
Yeah. Just, you know, to everybody who's liked, commented, shared, subscribed, joined the Patreon, voted on a poll, anything like that, that has helped us grow. Man, we appreciate it a ton. You guys listening is what makes this fun to do and why I come here every week. So again, thank you. And we'll see you guys hopefully at episode 200.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, this is the official 100th episode of, like, the public podcast that everybody gets to hear. But, I mean, really, it's like 125 or something with all the Patreon, you know, extra episodes we've done. Or
if you guys like are bored, join that Patreon. There's 20-some extra episodes on there. And they're fun.
And they're probably inappropriate.
Yeah. Before we get into, you know, what we want to talk about today, remember to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google if you prefer to just listen. Lastly, as I mentioned before, if you're looking for more content, head to jointhedawgs.com, become an official Patreon member. We have extra episodes on there. You get these episodes early. Some of the stuff we talk about on these extra episodes too. I think one of these episodes not that long ago, we talked college football. Today they want to hear us talk about movies. So we're going to talk football, then we're going to talk about some movies and stuff like that.
Well, there's quite a few times that we talk about stuff and then we turn everything off and we go, we should have talked about that on the main episode because it ends up being really good content. But
yes,
so I guess that's the perk of the after hours.
That's true. Yeah.
So if you're looking for more than just, you know, what we think about with the Browns, if you guys, first of all, we're all big nerds. So if you like Marvel and DC and comics and
Star Wars
and all that, we get into like all kinds of random stuff on the Patreon episode. So if you guys are into that kind of thing, make sure you check it out. Jointhedawgs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So today, you know, we're just going to kind of go through some Browns news and some, maybe a little bit of league news that's popped up in the last week. First one that we wanted to touch on was the Browns have been linked to Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley. They haven't let him go yet, but they're looking to trade him. How's that work?
I mean, I think that was kind of they're talking that he's going to probably get moved.
Okay.
They're both probably trying to go their own ways.
And the Browns have been linked to him. I've seen by more than one source has said this. What do you guys think? Do you think we should go after Calvin Ridley?
You go ahead.
We definitely need wide receiver help, right, in a bad way.
Correct.
So it's kind of nice whenever a big name like Calvin Ridley, super talented, high potential, young, still on his rookie deal. You know, whenever that kind of name becomes available, like there's an opportunity there. It's interesting.
It's intriguing.
But what he did this past season with the Falcons does throw concern.
So they don't seem like they are overly, like they're still paying him and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like he's rubbed them the wrong way. I don't know why he stepped away. If he's because he's tired of being in Atlanta, was he really having outside issues?
Right.
The Browns would need to do their due diligence.
Yeah. For sure. So at least, and I don't know, maybe the reports have come out and I just haven't seen it. I don't know if you guys know any more about it, but whenever that whole situation was unfolding, it kind of seemed like there was some outside, maybe like personal life situation stuff going on. He needed to step away from the team. And that was kind of all that was said, I think. Am I missing something?
This is kind of like what I took out of it. It seemed like he kind of had some mental things going on, maybe pressure, maybe expectations with Atlanta. He's been their number one guy, basically. I mean, for 2 years now. Julio was there the year before, but he was putting his foot down that he was that guy. So, I mean, with Calvin Ridley, the guy's probably one of the best route runners in the league, like top five route runner, super talented, like you said, could be a super solid number one on our team. But for me, just kind of feels super risky. I mean, I like Blake said, maybe do diligence to it, talk to him, see what's going on, talk to Atlanta. But like, for me, you're probably going to have to give up maybe a number one. I mean, maybe a second round. I don't know. I'm not sure like what his market's going to be. It depends on how many teams want him. I mean, he's a stud, but does he want to be in the NFL? Does he want to be a receiver right now?
Again, it all goes down to, you know, what you find out about the behind the scenes issues. But going back to 2020, the dude had 1,374 yards, 9 touchdowns, averaged 91.6 yards per game.
He's a stud, bro. Yeah, he's number one.
I'm doing my homework on him, obviously, but I'm getting – I mean, if it's an option, I'm getting him.
What you said at the end there, Justin, though, is a very good – I mean, that's probably the main question. Does he want to be in the NFL?
I think that's
if that answer is yes, then okay, let's keep moving forward with some investigation here and figure this thing out.
If he's frustrated with Atlanta, then
come to the land of frustration. Well, hey,
he's probably not the only one. I'm sure Matt Ryan might be stepping away from the game here pretty soon. We'll see.
Matt Ryan's a name that you got to remember too, because you know you just read his stats and you're saying how much of a stud he is. Well, he's also got a reliable quarterback throwing him the ball who racks up yards and touchdowns every single season.
Garbage time.
Well, but even when it wasn't garbage time, when the Falcons were good, I mean, Matt Ryan was still a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns every year. He was always...
He's been a league MVP.
Yeah.
Should have won a Super Bowl.
Yes. So, you know, with a situation at quarterback in Cleveland, it could be a different story for a guy. Yeah. I mean, we saw Odell, I mean, obviously has had no problem putting up stats and doing things with the Rams.
That is such a touchy subject.
I know it hurts to say, but
I'm not going to lie. I'm rooting for the Rams because I still like Odell. But man, it is tough watching him catch touchdown passes and throw 30-yard passes and all in a playoff game for a different team while we're at home. That sucks.
He looks very, very intense. Like I was watching him. I'm like, I never saw him that super like, hey, we're about to go on a run. And I think they're probably going to go on a run.
They got a tough one, but Tampa Bay is all banged up now.
Yeah, their line is super banged up.
I'd rather play Tampa Bay banged up than San Francisco right now or Green Bay.
Yeah.
That got a little off topic, but okay. good for Odell.
Yeah, yep. But I mean, just Calvin Ridley. If everything checks out of you, if they can check off the boxes, the concerns aren't there anymore. Yeah, I think
Browns kind of take chances on guys like these. I mean, look at a Kareem Hunt, look at a Malik McDowell.
Do you think it would take a number one to get him?
I think that's what they're going to ask, bro. I don't know if they're going to get that.
Because I mean, I'm thinking though, like DeAndre Hopkins only went for like a second, right?
It was the second and some change. Yeah, look it up, vet that. But
let me look.
You know, like,
but DeAndre Hopkins was also, first of all, that was Bill O'Brien, and he's an idiot.
Correct. Okay.
He made no good deals. Nothing he did helped out the Texans in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
And he was also older, further on in his career. There's probably other factors in there too.
But Calvin still, Ridley's, top three receiver in the NFL.
Yes, absolutely. I got to say though, Calvin Ridley at 24, I believe he's 24 years old right now. I mean, very, very young, and he's already been in the league.
He's 27.
He's 27.
According to this little Wikipedia thing right here, he said he was born in 1994.
I was looking at somebody else who was 24. Then never mind.
Still young.
Still on his rookie deal, but they did spend a first-round pick on him.
Correct.
And he's lived up to that draft capital. So I'm with Justin in thinking they would probably want a first.
He only had 860. He's only had one great season.
That was last year, right?
It was in 2020. Yeah, okay. The year before he had 866.
So that was the year that Hulu was really in and out of the lineup a lot.
So, again, you know, I'm not underselling him, but I'm saying, you know, if I'm trying to get him from the Falcons, that's kind of, I'm like, well, I mean, I'm not going to give you a first for a guy who's only had one good season,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who just sat down the rest of the year, the next year. So that's just like my negotiating tactics.
The flight risk could definitely lower that price a little bit.
Yeah. Did you look up what DeAndre went for?
Absolutely. Yeah. So he went for a second and a fourth. You're like, eh, that's not bad. But then they also traded away at the time David Johnson, who was really good. I mean, I think he was coming off that wrist injury or whatever, but still a solid running back.
No, they got David Johnson.
In the trade. So I'm saying like a second and a fourth and, you know, for a stud running back and then, what is it, another fourth?
No, I thought the David Johnson trade was separate from the Hopkins trade.
No, bro, it was they traded Hopkins
and a fourth.
A second and a fourth.
No, just Hopkins and a fourth for David Johnson, a second round and a fourth round.
That is awful.
Yeah.
You're basically switching.
So you're trading.
You're getting a running receiver, back and you're getting a second.
A receiver in his prime
for a running back
at the end of his prime.
Yep. Yes. Who hadn't been able to stay healthy in seasons. So, no, I think you got to do your due diligence, but I would definitely go out, especially because a guy I think a lot of Browns fans were been kind of high on was Michael Gallup. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know quite how high you're going to be on him. I mean, these guys come back from ACL injuries now, but he just tore it, a couple weeks ago? Mm-hmm. So he's probably missing at least a quarter of a season next year, a half. I mean,
it depends on how we were nervous about Odell. We thought he came back kind of quick, and
you know,
he came back, third game?
Third and or
that
fourth.
Was halfway through last year, not the last game of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? So, Michael Gallup might not be on the table anymore. And I do, especially if you don't get a first, because I'd go get Calvin Ridley if I could for like a second and a fourth round pick or something like that. Second and one of our players if they want.
If he's committed.
You know?
Absolutely.
And then I'd still use our first round draft pick on like Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then you got some receivers.
And now all of a sudden your receiver room's looking pretty freaking good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely something I would have my eye on if I was Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and such.
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to Jacob, who did our intro today, because he also sent us a voicemail. We're not going to talk about that today, but we're going to get to that maybe next week or whenever. But one name he does throw out in free agency for wide receiver that I liked in pairing with a young, maybe first round drafted receiver is Allen Robinson.
I don't hate it.
Because Allen Robinson, despite the terrible year, I mean, Chicago was a dumpster fire this year anyway. You know, you bring in Allen Robinson, he can be your alpha dog number one receiver for a year or two while a young guy really gets up to speed, mm-hmm. and he can learn from that veteran who's done it, proven it, and he's just the guy. You know what I mean?
I know Allen Robinson's going to be a free agent, but who would you rather have, Allen Robinson, or would you rather have
Calvin Ridley?
Calvin Ridley.
If you told me I could get Allen Robinson, I don't have to give up anything except for money for him, or you tell me I can get Calvin Ridley for like a second round pick and a player, I'm taking Calvin Ridley.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he's that much better than Allen Robinson.
Yeah, but if he's committed.
It's tough, because that's a kind of thing that we would take a chance on, and over the last 20 years, that'd be something that we get burned on. Yeah. I mean, literally, he'd be in South Florida and run somebody over. Or,
you know, like, oh, my gosh.
It's the second time on this podcast that he's been mentioned.
I mean, it's tough. I'm just saying, I'm just repeating. Just this isn't like I made the story up.
No.
I read it in the news, 2012 or something. I don't know. I can't remember the year.
Dante Stallworth.
Yep. Just drunk.
Go back and watch. I think it was like our third episode ever. I talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we were talking about Jeff Garcia pillows and stuff back then.
Yeah.
It's good times.
So, you know, speaking about Browns players with, you know, issues, that'll take us to our next topic.
Yeah.
A guy who actually had a really good season. We thought, you know, he was going to be back for the Browns. Probably not going to be back for the Browns. He's probably going to be bunking with Greg Robinson.
That's tough, bro.
Malik McDowell got caught buck naked, just like walking around inebriated. And when they tried to arrest him, he was like beating up the police officers.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. But Not to joke around, it kind of, it sucks. Like, it's very, for him, it sucks bad. Like, yeah. This is not a good look.
The report I saw said, you know, he's arrested for public exposure. And I'm like, okay, like, was he taking a leak outside or something?
Like outside Charlie of the Day, school.
Like Charlie Day and Horrible Bosses.
It said the police received a call that a man was walking naked near a school.
Yeah.
That's a little different than, whoops, I was in the alley relieving myself. My bad.
Yeah. Which I could have got arrested for that. And was, oh, I'm drunk.
What so, makes you
please, what? Sir, give me a second. I'm almost done. I got to pee real quick.
Maybe that's where it started.
So
I don't know.
Newsflash to any of our listeners. When I was younger, I sometimes partook in libations. Okay. You know, I think we all did.
Yeah. And if he did that, then you can triple times it. I never
partook so heavily that I was just like, hey, look, there's a school. I think I'm going to walk naked in front of it.
That's not fair, bro. So I think the big thing, we're joking around about it. Going into this year, we heard, and then it was kind of reported that there may be some inner demons going on with this guy. And we were like, well, hey, you know, hopefully he can put it past. You know, if you look at the past with Seattle, you know, this wasn't his first run in, you know. So I think, you know, it's a bad break. It sucks. It sucks for him more than anybody. But, like, you know, maybe it's an opportunity to get some issues addressed. I'll say that.
You're a nicer person.
I know.
But I think I'm going to go with Justin. It is an opportunity to get those demons addressed. And it's also an opportunity to say pretty confidently he's not going to be back with the Browns next year.
No.
Which sucks because, you know.
He played well.
He had a good year.
I thought that we had kind of solidified the his spot. I was like, oh, hey, that's one thing that we won't have to worry about next year. That's one guy that was such a pleasant surprise in a year where there are so many disappointments.
Yeah, so Malik McDowell this year had 33 tackles, 3 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, and 1 fumble recovery.
Sucks.
I will say this. I you know, I was joking, but and these guys are adults, so they shouldn't have to be babysat. But the Browns, I feel like that we kind of do a bad job in our history of when we have players like this, we don't do anything to help them. You know, like, we had Johnny, and everybody knew, you know, there were some issues. But did they ever, like, extend a hand?
Kellen Winslow.
Mike Kellen Penton Winslow. Just talked crap about him all the time in the media. You know, and you know you have a guy like this. So why is he just down in Florida or whatever, like, by himself, too? Why are we... Hey, checking up friend. On him. Yeah.
I'll be that friend. Why you need a guy to go with you to hang out in Florida?
I just feel like as an organization, you know that you obviously you're not in the babysitting business. Again, they're adults. They should be able to not walk naked in front of schools. But like, do we have anything out there to like help these guys who, you know, are
I don't think so. Issues? I don't because think so.
I thought obviously Johnny, he made tons of dumb decisions on his own, but I felt like we did nothing to help him. We took the guy in the first round, and then we were just like, oh,
here's a bunch of money.
We just
don't do any cocaine.
Well, that's the thing is that don't do coke. What sort of like programs or regimens do these guys get put through when they get drafted to say, okay, now here's how to be a responsible adult with your money. And here,
no, you know, none of them. No, you watch those. Have you ever seen Broke? Have you guys ever watched that documentary?
I do know. Like, I watch Building the Browns and stuff. When, like, the Browns players and stuff get drafted, they do, like, Jim Brown, I think, is the one who talks to him about, like, hey, don't be an idiot with your money and be smart and stuff like that. But I just think,
should be Bernie.
Like, I don't know. Maybe, like, hey, McDowell, call us once a day. Let us know, you know, things are still going good. Just something. You know,
like the buddy accountability system. Partner or something, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like for some people... Especially when you're paying them millions of dollars, you got to go above and beyond to make sure that they're going to be available to you.
That's a heavy investment in a person, in an employee, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know. Again, I don't think they should have to babysit, but at the same time, just because you don't have to doesn't mean you should.
No, but I also don't want this to go down the route of, you know, putting any of the blame on the Browns because like you said before, I mean, the dude's a grown man. Like, you got to be accountable for your own actions. So that was this was a very big mistake on his part. But
no, I agree.
I see. I agree with you completely. Like the team should be
like Josh Gordon. He just kept failing. Like, what were we doing to help make sure that wouldn't happen again? Not to make sure he didn't fail a test.
Yeah,
but to make sure like that he didn't want to do it, anything that would then make him fail a test. I don't know.
He was, I don't know like how much you guys have known about this, but like he was super open that like he was telling them, hey, I got a lot of problems. Like I'm literally getting drunk and high before games just to calm my nerves down. So you would think that, I'm not saying that every team should have an intervention kind of guy, or I don't, you know, I don't even know what those people are called, you know, like
an interventionologist.
Okay, cool. But I'm being serious though. You know what I mean? Like for a guy, if I, you know, I don't know. And some of these like backgrounds are tough. You know what I mean? Like this is their opportunity to get out. This was their one big break. And I'm sure Josh Gordon's still good. He made good money while he was in, but
and
like,
he sold some cars. I'm sure he made a good commission,
but it just sucks, you know?
But yeah, so I don't know. Maybe the Browns do have that stuff and it just didn't work. I don't know. That was just something I thought of off the top of my head. Like when I think about Browns players with histories of issues, they come here and it almost always seems to continue.
They get drafted,
Anthony Callaway,
and then they wreck their motorcycle in the parking lot and then they go to prison for way worse than that.
I will say that you mentioned Kareem Hunt earlier though.
That's what we take chances on guys
There's a great name that, you know, that dude made a huge mistake. Got caught.
We all
paid
do.
Paid the penalty for it. And, you know, we took a chance on him. And
he's probably so he's going to come out on the other side better on that.
So, but yeah, good for Kareem Hunt. So today, Baker had his surgery on the shoulder, getting the labrum repaired. So hopefully good luck with that, Baker. He was getting done out in L.A., so they're 3 hours behind us right now, so I don't know if he's had it done yet today or not. I haven't seen anything, but hopefully that goes well. You know, despite my, you know, talk about him doesn't mean I don't want his surgery to go well. That so just, you know, talking about Baker, then that brought up, you know, there's some QB news this week that I wanted to hit on. The Dolphins with the firing of Flores. So I guess the Flores and you know, got fired because he was in a power struggle with the GM. And the GM's supposedly still all in on Tua. And so I think they're out of the Watson sweepstakes because they said they're going to commit to Tua now into next year. So that kind of opens the door now for other teams. You kind of heard like he was only going to waive his no trade clause for Miami. Well, if Miami's not wanting you, bro, you're going to have to waive it to some other places if you want to get traded. So does that open the door now for other teams to get into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes?
Yes, go ahead. Guys. Hello.
Oh, go ahead, Justin. Well, take this one away.
Okay, yeah. I completely forgot what we were talking
Deshaun
about.
Watson.
Deshaun Watson. Okay.
Sorry, that's my
bad. No, you're good, man. Deshaun Watson. So a year ago, we basically sat here and we said, hey, you know, two firsts and Baker, or three firsts and Baker was too much. We thought we were giving away way too much and also a really good quarterback. I mean, I guess it depends on the price tag. I guess it just depends on what Houston's about to do. Because Houston holds all the cards. I heard that they're going to trade him before the draft. That's all the talk. They want to get it over with. They want to move
of
forward.
Of course, because they're probably going to get a bunch of picks.
Yeah, they want those picks. So, like, for me, I mean, what are you giving up? Because I think there's going to be some teams that are lined up. I think that, you know, there's at least five teams in the NFL that would probably upgrade. You're going to start here in Cleveland in that mix, you know. I joked around about both New Yorks, but that wouldn't shock me. Carolina, I mean, depending on what happens,
Denver,
Green Bay,
Pittsburgh,
you know, Russell Wilson in Seattle, Pittsburgh.
Don't say Pittsburgh.
That's so, just no matter what you think, if you're a Browns fan, I feel like even if you don't want them, you have to be in the sweepstakes form if you hear Pittsburgh is, because you got to keep him out of Pittsburgh.
Correct.
You got to keep him out of Pittsburgh.
He goes to Pittsburgh.
Could you imagine? I mean, they don't have to improve their line. They wouldn't have to.
No, and he would have receiving weapons.
And Najee and then Claypool. I mean, Deontay Johnson can't catch a cold, but if you throw it to him enough times,
he'll catch some.
Enough of them. Friermuth is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, the Steelers are basically like a legit NFL quarterback away from being really annoying again. You know? So you got to keep them out of Pittsburgh. You got to keep any of these good ones out of Pittsburgh somehow.
Are you giving up three firsts and a Baker for him?
100%. Like, that's not even close. I wouldn't even think twice.
You figure you're going to take a hit on the first one because what are we drafting, 13th?
Yeah.
That one kind of sucks, but I mean, if you bring Deshaun Watson to Cleveland,
the next
and they build around him,
potentially be in the 30, 20s.
32. Yeah. But no, I'm, you know.
Yeah, I think you can build a good enough wide receiver core for Deshaun Watson with free agency.
There's so much. Well, and there's so.
And later in the draft, too. I mean, there's so many receivers.
There's so many receivers.
It's so deep, yeah.
Guys in the Patreon are huge on this guy out of Kentucky.
Wandale.
He's probably going to be there in the second.
Think about like the Lions got Amon-Ra St. Brown in like the fourth, I think. I mean, you know, you can get guys later in the draft.
Yeah. And our receivers would look, like I said, I saw this stat today. And I sent it to you guys. So speaking on our receivers, okay. A lot of people, you know, they were down on Stefanski this year, but with play calling, blah, 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 blah.
He was really bad, wasn't he? He didn't let anybody get open in his play calls.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Highest percentage of pass plays with 3+ open receivers. Lamar Jackson at 38.4%. Baker Mayfield second at 37.7%. So almost 38% of the time he had 3 wide receivers open on a play. We're talking about how much we need to upgrade the wide receiver room. 38% of the time there's 3 of them wide. There's 3 of them open. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think you bring Deshaun Watson in, you don't change anything. You just bring Deshaun Watson in. We're like a 12-win team minimum right off the rip.
I'll say this also, and it pains me to say this, but I think if Deshaun Watson goes to Cleveland, some of those free agents are coming and they're not, you know, not arm behind their back. Like Allen Robinson, you don't think he'd be like, oh, man.
I could play with Deshaun
Watson. Deshaun Watson?
Never played with a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be interested.
He'd be interested. I mean.
Yeah, okay. You know what? You've convinced me. I'll give you my 3 first and Baker for Deshaun Watson.
It just sucks because, I mean, literally a year ago, we could have pulled that trigger. Could have done that. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm hoping that, you know, this is going to be a rebound year for Baker. That's what everybody, you know, as far as management is putting out there, but.
I just don't know if I'm willing to like take that chance. Super Bowl windows don't stay open forever.
Mm-mm.
You know? And if you're willing to bet that it was all because of the shoulder injury that he was statistically like one of the 4th worst quarterbacks in the league, then you're willing to put all that on and just waste another season. I'm not willing to do that because we don't have that much time. Yeah. Nick Chubb's getting older. JC Treader, Joel Batonio, they're getting older.
We're not going to have that line together forever either. And, you know, like Blake just alluded to, I mean, Baker was, I believe, the 5th worst quarterback in QBR this year. He was a 35.3, if I remember correctly. And the only 4 that were worse than him were Sam Darnold was the only vet. And that's Sam Darnold. And then it was Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm just not, you know, and then if Baker does get healthy and whoever we trade him to, he does great and good for him. No ill, but I'm just not willing to bet the Browns Super Bowl window on that.
As long as the upgrade is a legitimate upgrade, like Deshaun Watson would be a legitimate
upgrade
for sure. Guaranteed upgrade.
So that brings me into a couple of these other names. Russell Wilson, I guess, is on the record saying he wants to explore options in the offseason. I don't know really what options he has. He would need traded. I don't know if he's going to force his way out.
And he has I'm pretty sure he has a no trade clause because he put those 4 teams out there this past year. Just kind of.
So that's obviously another person. If the Browns could get him, I would rather have Deshaun than Russell, but
yeah.
I would take Russell.
Yeah, I'm in that camp. I mean, definitely Deshaun over Russell for me.
Just he's younger.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're trading, doing some things at quarterback, then yeah, you go Deshaun, pending he just gets a friend with him that doesn't let him do crazy stuff.
Well, we don't have
Cleveland, get that program in place right now.
We don't have really good massage parlors up in Cleveland, so he'd be all right.
Yeah, I've never gotten to a massage parlor, so it's not really my thing.
So Russell could potentially be out there. Which we knew that, but then I think he was finally this week, like put on record. He told somebody that he wants to explore it. So it's kind of all been like hearsay up until now, but now it's true. And then the other two I got on here, just because their GMs were fired and one of their coaches was fired was Carr and Cousins. I don't want Cousins as much as he's like statistically a really good quarterback. One is cap hit. He's like $45 million.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It's super.
And he's played with really great talent, and he still hasn't won. So, he's kind of, in my opinion, he's like a stats better version of Baker. I don't know. There's just something about him. He can put up numbers, but they don't mean anything. He doesn't ever win the big game. And you can't say it's, you can't blame it on anything else. He's got a good line.
Yeah. He's Finn had receivers, Diggs, Jefferson, Thielen.
Great receivers. Yep. Dalvin Cook, and then Alexander Mattinson's no slouch either.
And Boone was there before that, and he was the guy that could have started as a running back.
Yeah, so I don't want Cousins. Now, Carr, I really like Derek Carr. I know he struggled a little bit in the playoffs, but let's be honest, the Raiders got nothing. And he's got Hunter Renfro, and Darren Waller's running around half injured all the time.
Right.
And he's still always good. And then I think the nicest thing about Carr is his cap hit's only $19.8 million. So he's only gonna make $1.5 million more than Baker, but he's, in my opinion, leaps and bounds better. I would definitely pursue that.
Okay, so I'm out on Cousins. We'll just get that out of the way. I'm out on Cousins just because if you're going to spend $46 million, you better go talk to Aaron Rodgers.
And Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and Deshaun Watson. Because yes. I think that their league's better than, you know, Kirk Cousins. Completely agree. Derek Carr. I like Derek Carr. Derek Carr is not coming to Cleveland. If Vegas trades Derek Carr, they've just proven everybody's theory that they have no idea. Why on a deal you have I think he's super underrated, at least a top 12 quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe top 15, but he's not a scrub. He's proven that he can play. Why would you trade and completely rebuild everything from scratch? At least that piece is there. There's teams that can't find that piece. Cleveland is that piece. We haven't figured that out. You know,
the only thing I can think is a lot of times when a new GM and potentially a new coach come in, they want to get their guys.
Right. No, I get that.
You know what I mean? They want to get their guys. And if he wants to, they need a lot. They're not, you know, the Browns are, in my opinion, like a quarterback away from being real contenders. They're not. They need a lot of help. So if you can trade Derek Carr and get a couple picks, you know, then you start your rebuild.
It's just funny you say that, but yet the Raiders beat us and made the playoffs this year, and we didn't.
They barely beat us, bro. But they barely beat us.
I know. They might be the most
surprising playoff team in the last 10 years.
What, just with everything considered?
The whole year?
Yeah.
It sucked.
The fact that they went and the Chargers didn't go?
Yeah.
That was kind of...
Talent. I mean, if you look at, they don't have anything.
No,
it's Derek Carr. He drug them to the playoffs.
There's nice pieces here and there, but I get what you're saying. Where there's a lot more missing pieces than there are pieces.
Yes,
but you have that piece.
Yeah,
you have the quarterback. Piece. I just don't understand that. And even in a year where the draft, I look at the draft and I'm like, meh.
No, receivers and stuff. It's good. Yeah, it's just terrible. Yeah. It's not a good quarterback draft.
But.
And at this point so far, I mean, you look at last year, didn't turn. I mean, it's only been 1 year, but, you know, last year's quarterback class didn't blow anybody out of the water the way that the Herbert and Burrow class did.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm guessing like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, if they want to go play in Vegas, I'm guessing Derek Carr's out.
Yeah, they'll make it happen.
They'll figure it out. They'll be like, hey, we'll pay that extra $20 million. It's all good. Don't worry about it. But if you don't really have a lot of options and then you're not going to get a quarterback back that's going to replace that guy, and might just be the next GM that's about to get fired.
I just think for the Browns too, like, we got to find a way, at least in my opinion, don't hate me, we got to find a way to upgrade. If you look at the teams remaining in the playoffs right now, what do they all have in common?
Yeah,
they're all above average quarterbacks.
You think Jimmy Garoppolo is an above average quarterback?
He's right on the borderline when he's healthy.
I'll tell you what, man. He's made it to a Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. I know it's built on the run game and the defense, but
I watch Jimmy G play though, and he plays really well. Then there's other times in this game, like where he throws the worst interception ever.
Yeah.
But he's probably the worst one left. Mm-hmm. But then they probably have like the strongest run game, mm-hmm. I guess. Joe Burrow, you can't tell me you watch Joe Burrow play and you think him and Baker are playing the same game.
No.
You know
Joe,
what I mean?
Joe Burrow has ascended.
Yes. Joe Cool. He's here. He's here for a while too.
And you know, you can't watch Mahomes and think him and Baker or Josh Allen.
Like, oh, Josh Allen.
You know what I mean? I watch these other teams and it's like they're playing a different sport. Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
yeah,
you know, and if Pittsburgh makes a move for one of these guys, how are we going to go into a season when, you know, let's just say like say they get Deshaun by some, Deshaun's in Pittsburgh, Lamar's in Baltimore, and Joe Burrow's in Cincinnati. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, it's still so fresh, you know, this season. I mean, it's still not over yet. We're still in the playoffs, mm-hmm. but the Brown season is over. And I think that when, Baker's going to come back from the injury, he's going to be okay. We can still compete in the division. People are forgetting that throughout the offseason, these other three teams in our division are going to make upgrades.
Yeah.
The Steelers are not coming back next year with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. It's just not going to happen.
They're going to land a stud.
Look at
they're
the Bengals. The Bengals, guy. I mean, Blake, you said last week on the after hours, I mean, they're still playoffs. There's still a chance they go to the Super Bowl. They could be a Super Bowl team in our division next year. You don't know that yet. So, well,
and here's the thing too, is I think even after Baker's season last year, we all thought coming into this year, at Baker's best, he's a top 15 quarterback. Okay. Probably like in the 10 to 15 range. And that's if he's playing at his absolute best. That's not, if Deshaun goes to Pittsburgh, like the 1, 3, and 5s in our division. So, you know, 15's not going to cut it. And that's it when he's playing at his absolute top all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you still think that is like the kind of play that's going to take us where I just can't help you. I don't get it.
I guess that'll wrap up our weekly quarterback segment, which I'm sure we're going to be doing throughout the off season here. So. Yeah.
So we have, you know, last year we did the Mad Dog Awards.
Yes.
So we're going to redo them again. But before we get into the categories and all the nominations, I want to remind you guys to check out Symbol. You guys are going to go to, let me tell you here in a second, dogs.symbol.app. Okay.
Yeah, very complicated.
I said the old one so many times that it's getting really hard. I can't get this new one down for some reason. Dogs.symbol.app. They got a new interface. It'll kind of take you step by step how to set up your account. Use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS. You get $10 free plus your deposit's 100% refundable, up to $500 for your first 90 days. Jump in, buy shares of stock in a team as their price goes up and you sell, you're going to make money. You also get an instant cash payout every time that team wins, depending on how many shares you have. So if you have 10 shares, that's 10 cash payouts if that one team gets a win. So check it out, dogs.symbol.app. What's the new contest again? I forget. You told me about it last week.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's kind of all for naught now because you had to pick all the playoff matchups correctly. So that kicked off last week.
So hopefully if some of you guys got into that, hope you guys are still alive. So dogs.symbol.app, play the stock market for sports. Check it out. 100% risk-free. You put in your money anywhere from $1 to $500. And if you don't like the way it's going, you just reach out to Symbol and they'll send you all your money back. So if you're interested, now's the time to try it. Use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS.
Yep, Browns fans, we are on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. And why don't you go ahead in the comments right now, just drop in who you're rooting for at this point. Teams are, you know, we cut them down last week. We got a few left, so let us know who you're rooting for. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, you can still get in on the action of this divisional round playing DraftKings Daily Fantasy. Download that app as well. I'll be playing. I played last week, won a little bit of money last week. The only guy who let me down in my one lineup was Darnell Williams. That didn't go so well, but you know, Cooper Kupp came through in the end. But everybody can play for huge cash prizes. Get in there. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That is promo code TPPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay, yep. Check that out. So, on to the Mad Dog Awards. For anybody who's been watching for, you know, a year now, last year at the end of the season, this is kind of our award show to reward players on the Browns team this year for their performance. It means a ton to the players.
Yes, they display these Mad Dogs proudly.
Yeah. In their house.
Yes, yep. Right.
Right next to their ESPYs and their, you know, Big Ten championship rings or
that's
whatever.
That's not true, guys. There's no trophies. Don't expect a trophy to show up at their house.
But no, it's a ton of fun. Last year, a lot of people voted on who they wanted to win, and then we came in and did the awards, and it was a ton of fun. So we're looking forward to doing it again. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through, introduce the categories and all the nominations in those categories. You guys are going to jump on and vote for who you win. Where are we going to have this link?
So this is, so if you go to thedogspodcast.com/awards, it'll take you to the page on our website where this, where the voting is. And then I've got the voting form embedded in the page. But if for some reason the coding is playing funky with your phone or your tablet or whatever, just there's a link on the same page. Just click that and it'll take you to the outside form.
Okay.
Either way you can vote. Yeah. But
we'll make sure we put that link too in the description, and then I'll probably comment it and pin it as the top comment too, so it's easy to find.
Yep. It'll be on social media everywhere too. So if you follow us, you'll see it out there. But thedogspodcast.com/awards.
Awesome. So again, we need your participation on this. Help us out. The more people to vote, the better it is. I don't want Anthony Schwartz winning with, you know, three votes and it was me, Josh, and Justin. So make sure you guys jump on and vote. So the first category is Offensive Young Pup, which is Offensive Rookie of the Year. Two nominations this year. Didn't have a ton of rookie contributions on offense. Wide receiver Anthony Schwartz, on fire here. 10 catches for the season, 135 yards and a touchdown, and 39 rushing yards. And then the other rookie who saw some action was running back Demetric Felton, 18 catches, 181 yards, two touchdowns, and 24 rush yards. So that's the Offensive Young Pup Award.
Do you guys want to know the winners from last year as we go through?
Yeah.
So last year's winner was Jedrick Wills.
Okay.
Offensive Young Pup.
So, you know, people were really impressed with Jed Wills last year. This year, maybe not so much. I think he was banged up a lot this year.
He was.
So then that takes us to the Defensive Young Pup. So this one's going to be pretty fun. Defensive Rookie of the Year. Nominees are cornerback Greg Newsom, 37 tackles and 9 pass breakups. Second nomination is linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, 76 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 4 pass breakups, 2 forced fumbles.
That's a little better. That category is looking a little stronger. Yes.
And then third nominations, D tackle Tommy Togiai, 16 tackles and 0.5 sack. I think it's going to be a two-horse race here.
Yeah, for sure.
And JOK filled the stat sheet, but Greg Newsom was a beast.
I was going to say, you're going bias mode there.
No, I was kind of thinking about this on the way up when I was driving in. Like, I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet on this.
It's fair.
Greg Newsom showed why the Browns are so enamored with him in the first round.
It's hard to put up a ton of stats if people don't throw at you.
It really is.
You know what I mean? And he held his own from day one. It's not easy to come in as a rookie corner and just play at a high level.
That is probably the most difficult position to master in the NFL, other than like quarterback. But on the defensive side, man, corner and is
especially
rough.
When you play opposite a Pro Bowl corner. You think people are going to pick on you.
The OC's going to be like, hey, this is the guy we're going after. Yeah. We're going
to
pick on him.
Yeah, who are you going to throw to? The rookie or Denzel Ward?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Or the warden.
He's a great open field tackler. He covered I mean, he was impressive. But then you got JOK, who you couldn't watch a Browns game and not just be like, holy crap, this guy's awesome.
28 is everywhere.
Yes.
Yep. So for reference, last year's winner of this award was Jacob Phillips.
Okay.
I was kind of wondering if he would make the list this year because he was, you know, kind of didn't get last year. No, if he was
he's not a rookie.
Well, you know.
Unless you're Ben Simmons, you can't win rookie of the year in your second year. So then the third category is the Air Bud Golden Receiver, which is the best pass catcher of the year. So we don't just do best wide receiver because the Browns utilize their tight end so much and stuff like that. So the nominees are Donovan Peoples-Jones. He had 34 catches for 597 yards and 3 touchdowns. Jarvis Landry had 52 catches, 570 yards and 2 touchdowns. David Njoku was our leading receiver for a lot of the year. 36 catches, 475 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then Austin Hooper, 38 catches, 345 yards and 3 touchdowns. So as you can see, our pass catchers, nobody was that good.
I was just going to say, wow, I'm blown away with the stats.
Those are the guys we nominated were the best on the team this year, and nobody had 600 yards.
Yeah.
So yeah. David Njoku had, you know, a quarter of his yards all in one game. Jarvis Landry, I didn't even realize he had 570 yards. I think he should win this one just because it's probably going to be his last chance to win a Mad Dog Award.
Would you quit would you quit putting your bias on the listeners? I will tell you, Jarvis Landry won last year. Compare the stats, though. He had 840 yards last year and 3 touchdowns. Okay. Of course, he did miss, what, 4 games this year with that knee injury?
I think so, something like that.
Yeah, and he only missed the one last year. So, I mean, yeah, of course, there was a
COVID game,
little difference there. Yeah.
So then the next category is the Guard Dog Best Lineman Award. The nominees are 5 starting linemen. Jed Wills, he played 13 games, gave up 5 sacks, 28 pressures, 3.5 tackles for a loss, and he had 4 penalties. Joel Bitonio, Pro Bowler Joel Bitonio, played 17 games, only gave up 2 sacks, only gave up 17 pressures, 4 tackles for loss, and 3 penalties. Center J.C. Treader, 16 games, only gave up 1 sack and 10 pressures, 4.5 tackles for a loss, and 5 penalties. And then right guard Wyatt Teller, also a Pro Bowler, finally getting recognized for his good play. 17 games, 4 sacks, 24 pressures, 2.5 tackles for loss, 11 penalties. That's... Yeah. I also felt like he got called for some holes this year that were BS.
Holding calls in the NFL can go either way. I mean, 50-50. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, yeah, that was a blatant hole. And other times you're like, come on.
And you kind of, for the lineman award, you kind of want to be like, well, who protected the quarterback the best? Let's not leave out the fact that that guy, like, lays the foundation down for our run game. That work in down the field.
So who won it last year? I'm pretty sure it was Teller, wasn't it?
I am pretty sure it was...
I want to say Teller.
Wyatt Teller, yep.
If I had to vote this year, I'll keep it to a secret.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
I'm not,
secret time.
I'll tell you this year, I'm not voting Teller this year. Mm. So.
Not so much of a secret anymore.
Yeah, right.
I'm going James Hudson.
Oh, cool.
A write-in. So the Homeward Bound Award, this is the Comeback Player of the Year. We have some fun categories on here. I think this is one of them. Cornerback Greedy Williams, 2 interceptions, 10 pass breakups, 1 forced fumble, 41 tackles. It was good to see Greedy play this year.
Yeah, man.
He played well too.
Yep. Grant Delpit, 66 tackles, 1 sack, 3 tackles for a loss, 3 pass breakups, 1 interception, 1 forced fumble. Delpit again.
Also exciting to see.
You know, and he looks like he's ascending, especially by the end of the year, he was playing really well.
Oh, yeah, he was.
So this one hurts, but Tack McKinley, 18 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss, 1 forced fumble. He obviously didn't play on the Browns the year before, but... Man, he was having such a good bounce back year for him before that injury. It sucks.
Yeah, a guy whose career looked like, you know, it was really hanging in the balance. Yep. It could kind of be over, and the Browns gave him a chance. And I thought he did really well for the role we asked him to play.
Yeah.
I think if he stays healthy, like he stayed healthy the whole year, like we for sure bring him back, you know,
100%.
Or somebody else is calling. Now it's kind of 100%.
And then lastly is David Njoku, 36 catches, 475 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had a good bounce back year for him because the year before was...
It wasn't that great. And, you know, he was our leading pass catcher for the vast majority of the season.
Yes.
It's crazy, too, because I feel like Cleveland fans kind of got frustrated with him last year. And then all he did this year was, you know, with trade talks and all that. And all he did was just show up and just be the chief. So...
So then the 6th category is the dog pound.
Oh, wait, hang on. Did we say who won that last year?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Comeback player last year was Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
That was a huge bounce back from that 2019 season.
So then we got the Dog Pound Dog Award. This is my favorite category. It's the Unsung Hero Award. The nominees this year is running back Dearness Johnson, 534 yards, 3 touchdowns, 19 catches, 137 yards. Cornerback MJ Stewart, 47 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 4 pass breakups, or passes defended. Cornerback Troy Hill, 49 tackles, 2 sacks, 7 tackles for a loss, 1 pass defense. And then Malik McDowell, 3 sacks, 33 tackles, 7 tackles for a loss, and 1 fumble recovery. I know Dearness Johnson won this last year.
Yep. Correct.
And then, you know, all he did was come back and, again, was another one of the guys for the Browns this year that just did whatever was asked of him and always did it well. Yep. I was a huge MJ Stewart fan this year, especially by the end of the year.
Me too. But when I was – I'm not, again, how I'm going to do the little bias, but when I was pulling the stats for this, I was looking at Troy Hill, and I'm like, Troy Hill was getting after you. I mean, you're talking about a cornerback who had 2 sacks and seven mm-hmm. tackle for loss this year.
Yep. So then most impressive dog trick. This is performance of the year.
This is our new category. We didn't have this one last year.
That's very exciting.
So nobody won this one. So this is kind of like singling out like single game performances in games. So Myles Garrett, 4.5 sacks, 7 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss, week 3 versus the Bears. He was insane in that game. Mm-hmm. David Njoku, 7 catches, 149 yards, and a touchdown week 5 of the Chargers. Dearness Johnson, 22 carries, 146 yards, and a touchdown, 2 catches, 22 yards, in his first ever NFL start, week 7 against the Broncos. He just
tore it up.
Yep, I was at that game, and he, I mean, talk about putting yourself on the map. In one game in your first start. Nick Chubb, 14 carries, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 catches, 26 yards, week 9 at the Bengals. Then there's Denzel Ward, 1 interception, 99 yards, 1 TD, plus 3 pass defense, also week 9 at the Bengals. And then JOK, 13 tackles, a half sack, and a tackle for loss, week 12 at the Ravens. That's going to be a tough category because there's, mm-hmm. I mean, Myles Garrett with 4.5 sacks early in the year was nuts. But then you look at like Denzel Ward with a 99-yard interception. We had some good, you know, solo performances sprinkled throughout the season. So that's a fun category. Good job by you, Josh, to come up with that one.
Oh, thanks. I wanted to go back and look and see because, you know, there were games this year where it was like, man, we had a guy or two in a game where it was like they just had a hell of a game.
Yep.
You know, from start to finish, this guy just dominated. And, yeah, it was cool. It was good to go back and see, okay, we did have quite a few of those.
Yes. So the 8th category, offensive top dogs. This is offensive player of the year. Center JC Treader, he played 16 games, only gave up 1 sack, only gave up 10 pressures, 4.5 tackles for loss, only 5 penalties. Nick Chubb, he had 1,259 yards, 8 touchdowns, 120
receptions.
This says 120. I don't think he had 120 receptions.
Oh, no, he did not.
I'm going to guess it's supposed to be 12 or 20.
I think it's probably 12.
We'll get that fixed for you guys. But he had 174 yards and a touchdown. Jarvis Landry, 52 catches, 570 yards, 2 touchdowns. DPJ, 34 catches, 597 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And then Josh must have threw this guy on here.
That was by Zach's request.
Baker Mayfield, 3,010 yards, 17 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 60.5% completion percentage, 83 rating, 35.3 QBR. I don't understand.
Just so you know.
I don't know what.
That's bias right there, bro.
I'm telling you right now.
The numbers, the numbers, man.
If he wins this award.
Oh, he might, man.
It's not a popularity contest, guys. Give it to
me. Fans vote.
Yeah.
That's right. I hope he wins just so you have to. you have to sit there and just deal with that.
So now we got. So who won Offensive Player of the Year last year?
I'm going to guess it was Baker. Let me see.
I'm going to say it's Nick Chubb. Oh, no. Nick Chubb was out.
It was Nick Chubb.
It was Nick Chubb. It was Nick Chubb. Baker was MVP.
That's right.
So then defensive top dog. So defensive player of the year we got. I'm not going to read all stats again because they've already done it, but Myles Garrett, mm-hmm. JOK, Denzel Ward, 3 interceptions, 10 pass breakups, 43 tackles, a half a sack, tackle for loss, and a touchdown. He's a Pro Bowler this year. Jadeveon Clowney, 9 sacks, 37 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles. If he doesn't miss a game or two, he probably gets his 10 sacks finally.
Nice, so close.
John Johnson, 3 interceptions, 5 pass defense, 1 forced fumble, 61 tackles, a half a sack, and a tackle for loss. And then Anthony Walker, pretty sure he led the team in tackles mm-hmm. with 113, 1 sack, 2 tackles for a loss, and 2 pass defense. And that was with missing some time.
Yeah.
He was a tackling machine.
Yes, he was.
That's tackles. A tough category.
So, I mean, that's why we brought him in here.
He played well this year. He really did.
So, that's a tough one. I'm assuming Myles won last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was close with Vernon. I remember it was very close.
Yeah, because Vernon came on late.
Came on second half, right?
Dude, it was 85% Myles Garrett last year.
That wasn't stupid. That's stupid.
Wasn't one of the categories really close, though?
It was the MVP.
Okay.
MVP was like a vote or two won it for Baker.
Okay, so here we go. Best in Show, which is the MVP award, which if you guys haven't noticed, all our categories are kind of like dog show. very punny here at the Dogs Podcast. So Best in Show award, MVP, running back Nick Chubb, again, 1,259 yards, 8 touchdowns, 120 catches, 174 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. Miles Garrett, Denzel Ward, JOK, and Anthony Walker. So I don't think Baker's going to defend his title. He won it last year, right?
Yes, he did.
And who was it really close? But it was
Nick Chubb.
Him and Nick Chubb.
Yep.
Tough category this year for MVP of the team. I know who I'll probably be voting for in this. It's hard to, in my opinion, it's hard to pick an MVP of a team that went under 500. But we're going to figure it out.
I was just trying to think whenever I was looking at these, like, okay, which guy gave us the best chance to win the most times this year, whether we won or not, you know, who helped us get to that spot where, if we'd have won, it would have been again.
Well, he'd have to be a write-in.
Yeah. Right.
So those are the categories. Those are the nominees. Again, we'll have the link in the description, in the, I'll pin it in the comments. If you follow us on Facebook or Twitter or, anything else, it'll be on there. We'll have it pretty much everywhere. You have until the night of the Pro Bowl. Voting will close that night. That way then we can compile all the results and do the show, the awards between the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl.
Yep. So Sunday, February 6th.
Yep. So Sunday, February 6th, make sure you guys get in, get your votes. Again, the more people to vote, the better. You know, we don't want it to be Miles Garrett was team MVP with two votes. That would suck. So make sure you guys get in and vote. It's a ton of fun. Anything else you guys want to touch on?
I think that wraps her up for the week.
All right.
Oh, cool.
Again, thanks for being here with us on our 100th episode. We couldn't be more appreciative. It's been a ton of fun. We can't wait to keep going. To all you Dog Pack members, we'll see you on the After Hours show. We're going to talk about some movies. If that interests you guys, make sure you jump in, join the dogs, check it out. We got people from Ireland and the UK and California, which is basically a different country. So, so make sure you guys jump in there, hang out with us, and to everybody else, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast and become an official Dog Pack member and join the dogs.com.